Hold on, you're on the...
Hello?
I thought you were on
Rain.
The other... See, look, I put the microphone on. You're not in the other studio anymore.
No, I can help you find your papers now. Rain in 37.
Sure you are. Yes, absolutely. It is 8:15 at WEOL.
Adieu, Emil, my trusted friend.
Oh, wait, by the time I get to the hook of this song, I want to... Hold on. Here, let's see.
Three girls are every birds are singing in the sky.
Where's the seasons in the sun part? I want it because it's
the spring is in
the air. There it is. Spring is in the air. That's all I needed out of that.
Okay.
A little Rod McEwen for you this morning.
Charles Benke, Lorain County horticulturalist. Where do you weigh in on Rod McEwen?
I don't even know him.
Oh.
Okay.
From the 1960s, poet, singer.
I don't know him. Oh, I don't follow all
come
these.
On. What,
I don't.
What was the first record Charles Benke ever purchased on as a 45? Did you ever have music?
The Shrimp Boats are coming.
The what? Who? Is this some kind of Kingston Trio tune? Or?
I don't know. I'm not into this music stuff. I think I only have 3 records in the house.
Okay.
And I don't remember what they are.
All right. All right. So you saved your allowance money to buy other
things. Yeah, and I never bought a VCR either.
Probably bought a magnifying glass, I would imagine.
Yes,
would be the kind
I did.
See, I knew this. I could.
And I like the burn ants.
Come away. Shh, don't talk about that sort of thing. But you have an interest in insects, right?
Yes.
I mean, because of that. By the way, we're talking with Charles Benke, our favorite Lorain County horticulturalist, who also not only about plants, but insects as well, right?
Yes.
What's the study of that called?
Entomology.
And are we seeing bugs coming in or going out?
There's some of them that are coming inside right now. If you happen to be a homeowner, kind of keep watch for carpenter ants that might be moving in the house right now, and spiders that are waking up and moving in. They're kind of leftovers from last winter. And there's little baby spiders starting to wake up also out of those little round little balls that you see. Attached on your house at times.
Last time you were here, you brought a straw that had like a bee or some kind of.
Right. I even had one of those in my house yesterday. It blew in, I guess. Right. That's what happened. One of the little mason bees blew in yesterday. Caught it, put it in the jar. I'll take it outside
now,
later
on. I saw a post, and this is Facebook post. You see things that come up with that, and I'm trying to figure out who the source was. It might be related to like one of the natural resources people talking about. At this point, we don't need to really disturb too much of our beds because there's some insects there that are, good insects that are there that we don't.
There are. I've been working out in the garden, and there's a number of praying mantis eggs. I found like 20 of them that are out there, and they're just in the brush. And I have cleared off the garden, but I have saved those.
Would we identify a praying mantis?
They kind of look like a big foamy mass on top of a stem, and so you just break it off and just stick it in the ground, upright, so that when they hatch here in the next, probably in about the next 30 days, they'll be hatching. And they're your beginning early predators that are out there
now
in the garden.
I will say, and this is one of those type of things where I, for the most part, see full-grown praying mantis. I never see
the little baby
the
ones.
Little baby ones.
And there's about 25 to 30 of them in each of those egg masses. And they're very tiny. And if they kind of live together, hopefully they scatter apart quickly, because if you live together, they eat one another.
Oh, I see.
Eat your brother, or sister.
I see.
Food.
And they're very kind of solitary.
Yes, otherwise they're pretty solitary once they start growing up.
We heard all about the mating ones.
Right.
They mate and then they eat the male. So that's right? Isn't that how that works?
Yeah, that happens.
All right. Well, you're the entomologist.
It's the insect world. They eat one another. There's a lot of other interesting insects outside. I was also doing some digging along the lawn area. Notice grubs are up at the surface right now. They're within an inch of the surface. It's not worthwhile to treat them, even though they're nice and big. Mm-hmm. You'd have to put on too much insecticide to kill them. But do plan ahead for about the month of June, early July is when you really should be putting down your grub treating products to get good control of the grubs for the following year.
Charles, yeah. What do they look like? I don't know.
Oh,
if
I've
seen
I should
one
have brought
or...
some in to show and tell, and I'll have to dig some out yet.
Okay.
Maybe next time when I come and see you. They're large, kind of whitish, what a brownish head, and they move very slowly, but they're very close to the surface, within an inch of the surface right now, underneath grassy areas.
Like how long are they?
Oh, they inch and a half long, depending on the species.
Okay.
And the larger ones right now that we're seeing are the Japanese beetle grubs that are out there. So they're moving.
All right, Craig, here's the screen. It's filled. I just Googled grub, clicked on images. Now you have an entire screen filled
with. See how nice they look? They look like juicy. They're land shrimp is what you might call them.
Now that's a good description of them.
Land
they're,
shrimp.
They're rather meaty.
They are rather meaty. And if you were desperately hungry.
Okay,
I
some of these people have. I think some of these people have photoshopped the grub because this one looks the size of the person's hand almost.
Well, there are some Goliath beetles.
Grubs?
Yes, but they live in coconut trees.
That would be my wrestling coconut name, by the way, if I ever had to.
That would be
what's
your
that?
Goliath grub. That'd be my
next radio name.
My wrestling name.
Oh,
Goliath grub.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
So what? I like do. Skunks, for example, go after these?
Oh, yes. Oh, they've been
if
working
I was a skunk,
the...
I would want to eat those, too.
Yes, and they've been very active. I've noticed some areas around the Elyria and other places where skunks have been very active in the turf because they're close, so close to the grubs are so close to the surface right now, they don't have to dig very far to get them. So they get a breakfast in the morning or at night. But then also your cat goes out there or your dog and they have a run-in. And, of course, that's not always so pleasant.
Would you go to eat at some place called the Grub Burger Bar? We talk about grub. We think of it as
sort
food.
Of the Southwestern flair to food. Man, that's good grub.
Yeah. Okay. As long as there's no grub included into this.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening. I always talk about pruning.
Pruning, yes, we can still continue on with that right now. Stuff is coming into bloom, like, say, the forsythia. A lot of those bushes are quite high. Once they do, the flowers fade here very quickly. Don't be afraid to get inside those bushes and take out the big old wood all the way down to the ground, and it will regenerate wood that will flower next year for you, and so you have a much more nice new compact plant. Also, if you got taxus plants, they need some pruning now. Same thing with the junipers and some of the pines. They need some pruning at this time.
All right. And are we getting a slow start to our spring?
Yeah, we're kind of moving along. We're at about 93 growing degree days, and we use that to kind of tell, you know, what's going to come into flower and also what insects are going to be popping up outside. Just the other day, 2 days ago, the eastern tent caterpillar hatched. That's the one where you see this big mass of webbing in the trees. And the webs are small right now, but they will grow in the next couple weeks very quickly. Also coming along in another week, surprising at about 155 growing degree days, which isn't very much from we're at 95 right now, we will be seeing crabgrass germinating in the lawn. And most people won't see it because the seed is so small. But if you have not treated your lawn for crabgrass and you have that problem, I would highly suggest get to your local garden center and pick up some crabgrass preventer and get it on this week so that it works.
It's interesting with the fertilizer and weed control. There's always something new coming out. And I saw one where they've like combined everything. It's like
some products like that.
It does this. It does that. It does this. Does it do it well on all of it, or does it seem, because it seems like...
Well, it comes down to timing, and not all things coordinate together very well. You might get passed with a herbicide and an insecticide down together. Normally, disease control, they don't put in the specialty type things, and we really don't worry that much about a lot of diseases on turf.
This one also gave a fertilizer too, so it tries to do all.
Yeah,
of that
well,
sort
it's
of.
Feeding and.
How do we know that we're putting enough on and not too much?
Reading the labels, important thing. Always read the label.
Here's what the label tells me: if it's windy, don't put it on. If it's too dry, don't put it on. So get it wet. But of course, if it's raining, you don't want it to rain before you put it on, or too much after it. when am I supposed to?
Yeah, got a guess of the weather, and it's got to work out with your work schedule. Shoot for the best you can. And also, when you're putting down those materials, keep them off from hard surfaces, i.e., the driveway and the sidewalk. And if that does happen, get out blowers, you know, get out the broom and get it swept up into the turf so it doesn't stay on hard surfaces.
If it does, if it's on hard surfaces, what is it?
Well, when it rains, it can get down into the sewer system and out into Lake Erie.
I understand. Okay.
Now, let's say, for example, you put it in a spreader. You walk it around the yard.
Yes.
The package or the spreader says, you know, you ought to use the number two setting.
Right.
How do you know if that number two setting is still what it ought to be after a number of years?
It can change, and you got to look on a lot of the a lot of the package material. They will usually give a model number. In fact, they'll list probably about 10 of them nowadays. And so if you got a real old model, you might have to do some hit and miss on your applications. Normally on the fertilizer bags and fertilizer insecticide bags, they have a number up in the corner that says covers 5,000 square feet or covers 7,000 square feet or 10,000 square feet. So you do need to do a little calculation on your property size. And those people should know what, you know, usually you got a 70 by 100 foot lot. So that's a 7,000 square foot lot minus your house and your driveway. And if that's true, then that one bag should, you know, 5,000 square foot bag should normally do your yard reasonably well. You're going to miss a few spots, but, you know, that's the way she goes.
That's the way it goes. We were talking with Charles Benk here, our horticulturalist, joining us as Lorain County's horticulturalist. We got more. Can you stick around a little
bit?
Sure,
I can talk all kinds of stuff.
All right, except about music, because we learned that.
I'm not a good music.
Give him more Rod McCune.
Was your magnifying glass one with a handle, or did it come in the leather case that opened
up
like
nice
that?
Nice big one.
All right.
One of those 4 inches.